by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had a son who fought in the Union Army during the American Civil War. After months, his son was seriously wounded. News of his son's injury came to him on Christmas Eve. Being a poet, he sat down and expressed his anguish in the words of this song. The words that we know as part of a song called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And he says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." You see, the angels proclaimed that there would be peace on earth and goodwill to men. Yet, when we think about peace on earth, peace is somewhat elusive, is it not? The peace that we think of as coming from the message of the angels. And yet, Isaiah tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I want to first take you to Isaiah 9. We're going to read once again, one last time, verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to take a look at the name Prince of Peace and see how that relates to peace in our lives. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, as we have been studying this particular passage over the previous weeks, we talked about what was going on, and there were very bleak and difficult times. People were in distress, and he talks about distress and darkness. And in the midst of all of that, their problems, in the midst of all of that doom and gloom, something wonderful was going to happen. Isaiah says, a child will be born. And he goes on and he describes his names, and he says he is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. And finally, he says, he is the Prince of Peace. Now, that may be difficult for us to understand. When it comes to peace, there are so many mixed messages. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The angel said that he will bring peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then look what Jesus says of himself in Matthew 10:32. He said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Now, Jesus spoke those words during his earthly ministry, and he talked about what happens sometimes in relationships as people have a change of heart in regard to faith, and that as people would choose to follow him, sometimes there is division that comes. But nonetheless, the scripture tells us that he is the Prince of Peace. Yet, let me ask you this morning, where is the peace on earth? As Longfellow said, there is no peace on earth. Nearly our whole world right now is engaged in a war on terror. In many countries, many places, even as we speak, there is all kinds of fighting going on. So how do we reconcile this? How is it that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet we don't see very much peace? Let me suggest that the problem is in our definition of what peace is. See, we often think that peace is the absence of conflict. Peace is the absence of conflict or problems. And that's not really what peace is. We say that, we would sometimes say that the opposite of peace is war. And yet, biblically, that is really not the best understanding. The word in the Old Testament that is used for peace is a word that many of you are familiar with. It is shalom. And the idea of shalom describes, it's used to describe the end of hostility, but it also is a picture of health and wholeness. Shalom among Jewish culture is used as a word of greeting, meaning it's almost as if saying God bless you or may God bless you in using the word shalom. It denotes harmony. It denotes completeness. Shalom is to have a life that is fulfilled in every way, a life that is quiet and peaceful. Isaiah gives us this description, perhaps. In Isaiah 32, it says, "Justice will rule in the wilderness and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. Even if the forest should be destroyed and the city torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkeys will graze freely." You see there that shalom or peace is a quiet confidence. It's a confidence that is in God, even if the forest burns down, even if everything is going wrong, even if the city is torn down. There is that quiet confidence in God. That shalom or peace. So today, as we think about peace in light of Scripture, I want to share three truths as to how they may apply to our lives. And if you're following along on your outline, it's green this week. Truth number one, as the Prince of Peace, Jesus makes it possible to have peace with God. Now think about this. Of all the divisions, of all of the divisions, there is none that is more universal than the separation of God and man because of sin. The scripture clearly tells us that man is sinful and God is holy, and because of sin, mankind is separated from God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the one who makes it possible for us to have peace with God, to be reunited into a relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me explain that to you. Justified means that we are in a state as if we had never sinned at all. We are justified by faith, believing by faith that Jesus, God's Son, paid the penalty for our sin as our substitute. And as we place our faith in Him, it is as if we had never sinned at all. We are declared righteous before God. Not because we ourselves are so holy and righteous, but because of what Jesus gives to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Again, it is because of faith, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have peace with God. And that's only because God reached down and offered that to us. So many times people will say, "I can reach to God." And they will try all kinds of ways to reach God. And all of them are flawed, because it was by God reaching down to us. In Galatians 4, it says, "When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons." God sent His Son, Jesus, to fulfill His plan. A relationship with God is ours because God acted, God moved, God gave, God reached, and He reached to you and He reached to me. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a relationship of peace with God. Gordon MacDonald tells this story. He says a Nigerian woman who was a physician and a teacher at a hospital one day had spoken to him and told him that some of the things that he had said were a blessing to her. And when she introduced herself with an American name. And he said to her, "What is your African name?" And he says she immediately rattled off a whole bunch of syllables that sounded somewhat musical. He said, "What does that name mean?" And she said this, "It means a child who takes away anger." He said he asked a little bit farther what that meant, and he said, "Well, her parents had been forbidden by their parents to marry. They loved each other, and they defied their family, and they married anyway. Over the years, they were ostracized by both of their families. And then she was born." And she says, As my mother held me and my grandparents held me in their arms, immediately the hostility and hatred that they felt began to dissolve. And so she was given the name, "One Who Takes Away the Hostility, One Who Brings Peace." And he said, it occurred to him, McDonald said, it occurred to him that her name could be suitable for Jesus, as he was the child who came to take away the hostility, the one who came to take away the anger. God sent his son to be able to bring us together, to bring us into a relationship of peace with him. And in that way, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Truth number two, as the Prince of Peace, Jesus makes it possible to have peace with circumstances. This is particularly important. Is there anybody that doesn't have a problem at some point in their life? I don't know anybody. We all have ups and downs and issues. Jesus is the one that brings peace with circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? He's talking about worry. He's talking about the fretting that we do sometimes as we think about our problems, as we think about the issues. And he gives us a key here. He says the key is that we ought to pray. We ought to present our requests to God. We ought to commit our troubles to him and trust him in all situations. And he says, then we can experience a peace of God that guards our hearts. How many of you worry? How many of you fret about things? We all do. God tells us that he will give us his peace. Now again, remember, that doesn't mean he's necessarily going to solve the problem. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives, do not be troubled, do not be afraid. Are you going through a problem? Are you going through a difficulty right now? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah wrote in chapter 26 and verse 3, God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in God. The idea of peace because of our trust, because of our faith in him, not because our circumstances may change. I've shared this illustration with you before about peace, but I feel it is so relevant, I'm going to share it again. Now, there was a king, and he offered a prize. And the prize would be given to anyone, any artist, who could paint a picture that would portray true peace. Well, there were a few artists that came into the final competition. One had a picture of a calm lake. And there were trees that skirted the lake, and they were just reflected like a mirror. And there were towering mountains all around it. And the sky was blue, and the clouds were fluffy. And it just, as one looked, they thought, oh, it's so serene. It's so peaceful. The other picture was quite different. It had mountains, but they were rough and they were bare, they were jagged. The sky was there, but it was angry. It was filled with storm clouds and it just looked very violent. Instead of tranquil water, there was a waterfall just plummeting off the sides of that mountain, raging. And when one would take a look at that painting, it would seem as if there was nothing peaceful at all. But then the king looked closely, and there, behind the waterfall, in a little nook of the rock, was a tiny little bird nest and little baby birds and a mother bird just sitting there peacefully while the water is raging, while the storm is raging, and there in complete peace, she took care of her young. And that is the painting that won the prize. Because peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is a quiet trust in the midst of the storm. Jesus is the one that can bring us peace in our circumstances. Maybe you would describe your own life as a raging waterfall. Maybe there are dark clouds and jagged mountains in your own life. The Prince of Peace can give you his quietness and his soft assurance as you trust in him, even in the midst of all of that storm. Truth number three, as the Prince of Peace, Jesus makes it possible to have peace on earth. Now we say, oh, there's no peace on earth. But my friends, the scriptures do reveal that there will be a time that there will be complete peace on this earth. The Bible reveals that Jesus will reign for 1,000 years here on the earth. During that time, Satan will be bound. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, it says he sees the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. My friends, during that time, on the very face of this earth, there will be peace. And Isaiah, who describes Jesus as the Prince of Peace, gives us a description of what that peace will be like. Isaiah 11, beginning with verse 1, says this: out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with a baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to the whole world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. It's probably very difficult for us to imagine what it would be like to live in a place where there is absolute peace among all, where there is no more anger, no more hatred, no more hostility. Hard for us to fathom that because we've never really experienced anything close to it. But the Bible tells us that one day that will be a reality here on earth. People throughout centuries have talked about peace, but few have ever actually had a plan to bring peace to the world. There's many people who have drawn up treaties, who have drawn up agreements of peace, but we know that things are no more peaceful than they were before the pen even hit the paper. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he will one day rule on the throne here on this earth. And then, my friends, there will be perfect peace on earth. Longfellow wrote another stanza that says, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the wonderful counselor, the one who gives us perfect advice, the one who gives us perfect direction. As a wonderful counselor, he knows everything about our being. He knows all about us without us even uttering a word. And so he gives us perfect counsel, perfect guidance. Jesus is the mighty God, and he has power, power over our circumstances, power over our problems, power over sin and death. He is the everlasting Father. He is the eternal God. He does not change. He will not change. He has always existed, and he will never cease to exist. There will never be a day that you will wake up and find out that there is no more Jesus. And he is, my friends, the Prince of Peace, the one that makes it possible for us to be at peace with God, the one that can bring peace to our raging lives, and the one who will ultimately bring peace, even peace on earth. As we close, the final question says, which of these truths is most meaningful to you? Our Father, we are so thankful for the names that are given to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that those names reveal to us something about his character, something about his being. Lord, I pray that whatever is raging, whatever is distressing in our lives, even right now, Lord, that we would find the shalom, that we would find a place of quietness and rest in the presence of Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. Thank you again for this study. Thank you again for what you reveal to us from your word. Lord, help us to take these truths and claim them and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.